This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Tension management mistakes to avoid when conflict involves a personal friendship at work. When friendship and friction collide, most people get the balance dangerously wrong. In short, conflict with a close colleague is not just professionally uncomfortable. It is structurally different from any other kind of workplace tension. Friendship distorts your instincts in ways that feel like kindness, but function like neglect. Protecting the friendship often causes you to delay, soften, or avoid the conversation entirely. The longer you wait, the more the professional relationship suffers alongside the personal one. Tension management mistakes in these situations cost you both the colleague and the friend. Definition: tension management mistakes are errors in how you handle, delay, or frame conflict at work. When a personal friendship is involved, these mistakes are more frequent and more damaging because emotional loyalty overrides professional clarity, turning manageable friction into lasting damage. I have watched people lose a friendship and a working relationship in the same week, not because their original disagreement was insurmountable, but because every instinct they trusted turned out to be wrong. The tension management mistakes that surface when conflict involves a personal friendship are among the most destructive I know. They are not obvious, and that is exactly what makes them dangerous. You think you are being a good friend. You think you are being sensitive. What you are actually doing is building a problem that neither of you will be able to talk your way out of later. Friendship changes everything about how you read the situation, how you speak, and crucially, how long you wait before you say anything at all. Why friendship makes you misread the room. Conflict between strangers is uncomfortable. Conflict between friends feels like betrayal. That shift in feeling is where the errors begin. When you're close to someone, you bring years of goodwill, shared history, and genuine affection to the moment. Those are real and valuable things, but they also create a bias that makes you minimize what you're receiving, excuse what you should address, and delay what you should say today until it has quietly become a crisis. The mistakes below do not happen because you're weak or foolish. They happen because your best instincts, the ones that make you a good friend, are working directly against your ability to manage professional tension well. The six tension management mistakes that do the most damage. 1. Using the friendship as a reason to delay the conversation. What it looks like: you tell yourself the timing is not right, that your friend has been under pressure, that you will bring it up once things settle. Weeks pass. The issue grows. Why it happens: confronting a friend feels like risking the relationship. The longer the friendship, the higher that perceived risk. Delay feels like care. Why it matters: in professional tension, time is rarely neutral. Every day you do not address the issue, both parties harden their position without the benefit of a conversation. What could have been a 10-minute exchange becomes a months-long undercurrent. What to do: set a 48-hour rule. If something is affecting your working relationship, commit to raising it within 2 days, privately and without drama. A short, early conversation is almost always recoverable. A long, delayed one rarely is. I have never once regretted addressing something too soon. I have spent years regretting waiting. 2. Softening the message until it loses its meaning. What it looks like: you raise the issue, but you wrap it in so much reassurance that the other person does not realize a real problem has been named. They leave the conversation feeling fine. Nothing changes. Why it happens: you do not want your friend to feel criticized, so you overqualify, add disclaimers, and bury the actual point. This feels considerate, but it is, in practice, conflict avoidance stressed as communication. Why it matters: if your message does not land clearly, it has not been delivered. You will feel as though you tried, and your friend will feel blindsided when the issue eventually explodes. That combination is particularly damaging to trust. What to do: prepare a single clear sentence that names the problem before the conversation starts. Use it early and do not retreat from it. You can be warm and direct at the same time. Friendships that require you to muffle every difficult truth are not as solid as they look. If you need a practical framework for structuring that conversation, the DEAL method for resolving conflicts that fracture team relationships gives you a clear script to follow. Here is the truth of it: unclear feedback is not kind. It is just slower damage. 3. Treating the professional issue as a personal attack, or vice versa. What it looks like: the work problem becomes entangled with feelings about the friendship. You find yourself saying things like, "I just expected more from you," or "I thought we were closer than this." The professional issue drowns in personal hurt. Why it happens. When someone you trust fails to meet a professional expectation, it genuinely does feel personal. The emotional response is real. But mixing the two in the conversation creates a problem, with two heads that nobody can address at once. Why it matters. Entangled conversations rarely resolve either issue. Your friend does not know whether to respond as a colleague or as a friend, so they default to defensiveness. The work problem stays unresolved, and the friendship takes damage it did not need to take. What to do? Write down the professional issue in one sentence before the conversation. Keep the first discussion restricted to that sentence only. If personal hurt needs addressing, give it its own separate conversation at a different time. Managing the professional tension and processing the emotional impact are two different jobs. 4. Assuming your friend knows what is wrong. What it looks like. You grow quieter, shorter in your responses, or visibly cooler in your manner. You assume your friend will notice and ask. They do not ask, or they ask and you say nothing, and the distance grows. Why it happens. In close friendships outside work, this dynamic sometimes resolves itself because you have the emotional bandwidth to eventually bring it up. At work, there is no such safety net. Professional distance compounds daily. Why it matters. Passive communication is one of the most reliable ways to permanently damage a working relationship. It creates resentment without giving the other person any chance to respond or repair. For a useful structure on opening these conversations, the guide on how to start a difficult conversation that is blocking your team is worth reading before you attempt it. What to do? Replace the assumption with a direct, private question. Can we talk about something that has been sitting between us? Is enough. You do not need to have the full conversation in that moment. You just need to open the door. 5. Asking mutual colleagues to carry the message for you. What it looks like. You share your frustration with a shared colleague, hoping it filters back, or you ask someone else to just mention it. This feels easier than a direct conversation. Why it happens. Triangulation, bringing in a third party, reduces the immediate discomfort of confrontation. In a friendship, it can also feel as though a mutual friend might soften the landing. It does not. Why it matters. Second-hand tension management poisons the wider team. It gives the original disagreement more fuel, adds a new layer of trust damage, and signals to your friend that you are not willing to respect them enough to speak directly. It also rarely stays contained. For more on the risks of triangulating between strong personalities, how to avoid tension management mistakes when mediating between two strong personalities covers the territory well. What to do? Use the rule of direct contact only. If it is important enough to say, it is important enough to say yourself. No exceptions where friendship is involved. 6. Overcorrecting by becoming overly formal and distant. This one surprises people. What it looks like. In an attempt to keep things professional, you swing to the opposite extreme. You become clipped, transactional, almost cold. Every interaction is stripped of warmth. Your friend notices and reads it as hostility or rejection. Why it happens. People often believe that managing conflict means removing all personal warmth from professional interactions. They think distance equals professionalism. It does not. This is the mistake most people on this list do not see coming. Why it matters. Sudden coldness from a close colleague lands as punishment. It escalates the emotional stakes without addressing the actual issue. If you have read about how to rebuild trust after unresolved tension has damaged a working relationship, you will know that the repair work required after this pattern is significant. What to do? Stay warm in tone while being clear on the issue. You can address a professional problem and still greet your colleague with genuine respect. Friendship does not have to be suspended during conflict. It has to be separated from the professional matter at hand, not erased. Being cold is not the same as being strong. It is just a different kind of avoidance. 7. Letting loyalty override accountability. What it looks like. Your friend makes a mistake at work that affects the team, the project, or your own credibility. You cover for them, downplay it in meetings, or fail to give them the direct feedback they need to correct course. You tell yourself you are being loyal. Why it happens. Loyalty is a deep instinct in any real friendship. Calling out a friend's professional failing feels like a betrayal of that loyalty. But here is what actually happens. Your friend misses the chance to grow, the team loses trust in you, and the problem continues until someone else addresses it more painfully. Why it matters. The longer accountability is deferred, the worse the eventual reckoning. Covering for someone is not protecting them. It is delaying their exposure to consequences they eventually cannot avoid, while making you complicit. That destroys both professional credibility and the friendship. What to do? Give your friend the feedback you would give any colleague you respect. Direct, specific, and private. The real mark of a good friendship is that you trust each other with the truth. For a structured approach, the DEAL method for diffusing tension between colleagues who refuse to cooperate can help you frame accountability conversations but stay constructive. The root that feeds every one of these mistakes. Every error above grows from the same source role confusion. When a person is both your friend and your colleague, you're managing two relationships simultaneously, each with different rules, different expectations, and different stakes. The mistake is not caring about the friendship. The mistake is allowing the friendship to govern how you manage the professional relationship. At work, your obligation is to clarity, accountability, and honest communication. Friendship does not replace those obligations. It sits alongside them. When you let the personal role consume the professional one, both suffer. Productive teams depend on direct, honest exchange, and you will see this borne out every time you look at what makes meetings function well. The people who manage their relationships with clarity are the people others trust. The goal is not to be less of a friend. It is to be more of both. A quick diagnostic. How are you currently managing this? Read each statement and answer honestly, yes or no. I have been aware of this issue for more than 2 weeks without raising it directly. I have spoken about this situation to a third colleague before speaking to the person involved. When I have raised it, I softened the message so much that I'm not confident it landed. I have become noticeably more formal or distant, without explaining why. I have covered for my friend in a professional setting, because it felt disloyal not to. I have told myself this is not the right time, more than once. If you answered yes to one or two, you are in the early stages of mismanagement. One direct conversation, soon, will likely resolve this. If you answered yes to three or four, the pattern is established. You need to act this week. Start with a private conversation that names the issue once, clearly. If you answered yes to five or six, the relationship, professional and personal, is under real stress. You need to address both the specific issue and the avoidance pattern directly. Be honest about the fact that you have been struggling to raise this. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Your first move, and why it needs to happen before the end of this week. You do not need a perfect script. You need a single honest sentence, and the courage to say it privately. Something like, there is something between us professionally that I have been putting off, and I would rather address it with you directly than let it sit any longer. That sentence does not resolve anything on its own, but it opens the door before it locks. If you want a structured approach for what comes after that opening, the article on how to rebuild trust after unresolved tension will give you a clear path forward. The friendships worth keeping are the ones strong enough to hold a difficult conversation. Avoiding tension management mistakes in these situations is not about managing the conflict perfectly. It is about respecting your friend enough to be honest with them. That, in 60 years of navigating this, is the only thing I have ever seen actually work. Frequently asked questions. What are the most common tension management mistakes at work? The most common tension management mistakes include avoiding the conversation entirely, letting personal loyalty override professional accountability, and mixing emotional disclosure with the work issue. These errors compound quickly when the conflict involves a personal friend rather than a neutral colleague. How do tension management mistakes affect workplace friendships? Tension management mistakes erode trust on both levels simultaneously. When you mishandle conflict with a friend, you risk damaging not only the professional relationship, but the personal one too. The dual loss is harder to recover from than conflict with a colleague you are not close to. Why is tension management harder when a friend is involved? Friendship creates emotional investment that makes it harder to stay objective. You want to protect the relationship, so you soften your position, avoid direct language, or delay the conversation entirely. That protective instinct, left unchecked, transforms a manageable disagreement into entrenched resentment. How do you start a tension management conversation with a close colleague? Begin by separating the professional issue from the personal relationship clearly. Name the work problem specifically, and keep the first conversation focused on that alone. Avoid statements that blend friendship with accountability, such as telling someone you expected better because you're friends. Can a workplace friendship survive conflict if you manage tension well? Yes, and in many cases it comes out stronger. The friendships that survive workplace conflict are ones where both people respected the professional boundary during the disagreement. Clear, direct, and respectful tension management signals maturity and actually deepens trust over time. What is the first step when tension with a friend at work is being avoided? Name the avoidance directly and privately. Tell your colleague that you have noticed some distance and that you would prefer to address it rather than let it sit. Keeping the first step small and private prevents the situation from escalating before either of you is ready. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.